This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
At Red Nation Hoops on Twitter, you're joined by Athletics Kelly Iko, also known as Dwayne Johnson. How you doing, sir?
I'm not. Okay, can we put the Dwayne Johnson conspiracy to bed?
I mean, you're dressing like Dwayne Johnson these games, man.
Like he's dressing like me.
No, you're wearing these turtlenecks to the game. You know, it's funny. You came to these games early in the season dressed like in sweats and like a t-shirt.
Yeah, I just come real casual.
And now you're outdoing us. Now you're making us step our game up. You know how they always say like LeBron makes all these guys around him better?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're doing today, Kelly.
I'm elevating my teammates.
Yeah, you're elevating us. You're making us step our game up now. See, like I look so underdressed right now.
Just wait, don't I see you with the Sperry's and the slacks?
Yeah, yeah. See, like
Sperry's. It works for you.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but like, it's really lazy. And you, Stephen, you're wearing a blazer to every game now. And like,
I got to.
Yeah, you got to. So we are live in the bowels of Toyota Center after the Rockets defeated the Cavs by like a billion points. We're firmly at the halfway mark of the season. The Rockets have played 41 games. Usually, at this point of the season, we get a pretty good idea of what each team is at this point. But for the Rockets, I'm not sure if we're there yet. You know, because like I feel like they've had. And up, obviously, they've had an up and down season, but obviously, they have these injuries piling up, and it's really hard to gauge where they're at.
Yeah. The one thing we do know is that they can score a bunch.
Yeah.
Tonight they dropped like 145.
Yeah, a lot of points.
And I think for a long time they were the number one offense in the league. Now it's Golden State.
Yeah.
But like you said, there's been a lot of injuries, a lot of upheaval, a lot of turnover. So we don't know how good they are going to be defensively. Right now, they're still kind of 24th.
Right, yeah. They're still really bad defensively. But as you said, I'm glad that we can finally understand this team, because I remember for a while at the beginning of the season, I didn't understand what this team was. Like, this team didn't have an identity at the beginning. I didn't know if they were good at offense, they were good at defense. Like, they just were so up and down every game. They didn't have a consistent identity. And I feel like that's so important for good teams to have an identity, and I feel like now that they have that, you know, they can start working on the other parts of their team defense and whatnot. But yeah, you're right. Like they still have a lot to work. They still have a lot of work to do. You know?
I think one of the biggest things to see going forward is what can they do to put them over the edge.
Right. You know,
they're pretty well. I won't say they're pretty close, but we have a better idea of who they are. Like you said,
yeah.
We know. Exactly. Okay, this team is going to come and score 130 points. They're going to get up 45 threes.
Yeah.
Harden is going to make half of those threes. Mm-hmm. Can the other guys contribute? Can Chris come back? Can Eric come back? Can Gerald and other guys stay consistent with offense and also on defense? How? Because they've given up a lot of points in the paint, even right. to a Cleveland team that coming into today was worse in the league in what?
This team is bad. This team is bad.
Yeah, and even tonight they still scored 115, 113 points. Like right. That shouldn't be happening. Yeah. I know in the past you would hate that kind of stuff where it would be a blowout. The bringing the benches and then they still give up a lot of points.
Right, yeah. Their garbage time shoots in the past have been pretty bad. And it was okay tonight, but their defense is still a work in progress, to put it lightly. So I think we can firmly say this team is good at X and bad at Y, which is progress. But, you know, for the past 15 games, this team has been playing like a, you know, Western Conference contender, like a legitimate Western Conference contender. And I'm not sure if I would be ready to call them that yet, because there's just so much work they have to do. There's so many additions they have to make. And these injuries, you know, like, for example, the Eric Gordon stuff. Like, you had an update about him today. What'd you hear?
Yeah, he is getting ready to come back. He's pushing up the workouts with John Lucas, getting some extra shooting drills in, getting some extra, you know, like feet work. Because what he told me was when he got hurt, I think everyone thought it was knee on knee.
Right.
It was knee on the floor. So he's known to wear those knee braces, like the super long knee braces.
Right.
But somehow the collision avoided all of the knee brace and hit on the side, which is really – it was really inflamed.
Right.
He couldn't run.
These knee braces have this padding on the front end, and what you're talking about is, I'm guessing, the side where the padding doesn't –
yeah.
Yeah.
And it was super inflamed, and it hurt to run. Yeah. And that was, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
But – he's close to coming back. Obviously, he'll be closer than Chris Paul is in his recovery, but it's good to see that he's stepping up because he wants to come back and play and help a team who's kind of clicking offensively right now.
Right. Yeah, so the Rockets were super vague about his injury before. Yeah, like they were day-to-day.
What else is new?
Yeah, they're day-to-day. They're vague about every injury. But, like, they legitimately did not give us any update on him. And it seems like what we have here is a deep bone bruise, I would say. Yeah, a deep bone bruise, which is much worse than we thought before. Before we thought it was just a knee on knee. You know, he'll be back in like a couple, you know, just a week or so.
Yeah.
And like it seems like it's deeper than that. As far as Chris Paul, he started to get on the court a little bit. We're starting to see him before games, shoot around.
Running up the arena steps.
Yeah. He's doing a lot of stuff with John Lucas as well. You know, I think with Chris Paul, I think they're being more careful than they really have to be, but in a good way. Because
they're being overly cautious, which is smart.
Yeah, it's smart. Yeah, because, you know, obviously that hamstring has bothered him in the past. He's missed a lot of time due to that hamstring. And, you know, the Rockets aren't worried about this season. They're worried about the postseason.
Yeah.
And having Chris Paul healthy for that stretch is really what it's all about. And I'm guessing if it was a playoff situation, he'd be ready to go in a couple of days. Like I can't, you know, I don't know what's going on with his doctors. You know, I can't speculate, but I'm guessing if it was a playoff situation, just judging by how he looked in the shoot-arounds, he'd be ready to go.
And I think to that point, when he initially went down, I don't think the Rockets saw James taking his game like this.
Right. Yeah. He's playing.
Like they knew he's great.
Yeah.
But did they see this? No, I don't think so. So I think that kind of played into, okay, now we can be more cautious with Chris Paul. We can give him more time. We have Austin Rivers coming in. He's coming and produced.
Daniel House.
We're pretty good on the guard front. Yeah, Daniel House has come in and played relatively well to expectations. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's one of those things where now you know what you're up against. Mm-hmm. How do we prevent that going forward? Because, God forbid, they get into the playoffs and he goes on again.
Right.
Like, even before he got hurt, he was playing way too many minutes. The most he's played in 5 years is like 34 a night, which is insane for a 33, 34-year-old guard with a history of injuries. So I think now they took a step back and said, let's be realistic. Let's have a long-term goal. Because this guy's around for 4 years.
Yeah.
I don't want to burn him out.
And I think that's the smart way to go. And you're 100% right. The fact that they went 12-3 in that ridiculous stretch where they were playing like a playoff contender pretty much every other night was really impressive. Really impressive. Harden's at another level. Like, I'm not sure if I'm ready to call him my MVP yet. Like, I'm still Giannis. I still think Giannis, the team success, the defense, their top five in defense and offense. But Harden's making a strong run right here. Like, if he keeps this up for another 2 weeks, which is how long Chris Paul is going to be out for, at least, I mean, it's going to be hard to deny him this MVP award.
And he also had the first laugh. They did win in Houston.
Yeah.
He had an incredible game.
Yeah.
And I feel like he finished with, what, 21 and 20 or something like that?
Right, yeah.
But it's the way he got those points, because the Rockets clearly game plan to stop him or slow him down at least.
PJ Tucker's ball denial is where, like, I mean, like, the guy didn't let him touch the basketball in that first half especially. Yeah.
And I think even at that, he was still able to come in and take his team to a very good road victory. And we'll be having to watch to see when they meet up again in Milwaukee,
right,
which will obviously be a much tougher environment. Mm-hmm. But assuming James can keep up this level of play for that long, it's gonna be really interesting to see. I think James Harden might be the only player to win MVP where the voters might already have voter fatigue. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, he only has one MVP, but there's already voter fatigue in there. Yeah, 100%. I do, because he's been in like four MVP races.
By yeah.
Now. Yeah, he's been in a bunch of these. And I do feel like there is some sort of voter fatigue here. But I think, you know, like, it's been interesting to watch these teams come up with separate defenses for Harden. Like, the Bucks play, like, they tunneled him right. Like, Bledsoe made him go, like, I've never seen anyone force him right the amount that he did. Like, he just, like, completely gave him the right lane. And the way the Bucks packed the paint, like, they had, like, 3 7-footers there. They had Irsan Ilyasova, Brook Lopez, and Giannis, who's, like, 6'11" himself. Yeah. Like, they all packed the paint all at once. Like, it was, like, a real huge scramble. And to the Bucks, right, this is how they played all year. So it's not really that much of a deviation. But specifically for Harden, I'm not going to – they didn't stop Harden, obviously. He had 42 points.
No.
He had a great, efficient night. But it definitely slowed the Rockets down.
Mm-hmm. It slowed them down to the point where they weren't getting into their actions as quicker. You saw, like you said, Bledsoe was kind of channeling him towards Brook Lopez.
Right.
And at first it was working because Brook Lopez was putting his hands up and just diverting everything. Clint had a really bad game,
right,
efficiency-wise. Brook was bothering him all night. And Harden had 42. Kind of towards the end, I think they kind of tired him out.
Yeah, he started missing a lot of threes. They were
being very physical. Yeah, he started missing a lot of threes. Some passes were off target. And I think the Bucks are – credit to Mike Budenholzer. Like, he's coaching these guys so brilliantly. And he's made – it's not like he's coming and made these sweeping changes. He just came in, he brought in Brook Lopez, added a little bit more spacing and a little more structure. And you're seeing how good that team really is. We've always talked about – When will the Bucks take that next step? Because they've always been heralded as the next team, the team that the younger
everyone's
team.
Everyone's favorite league pass
team. Yeah, the young and hungry, the Buck, you know, the
young Bucks.
Yeah,
like
Bucks and six, you know, Brandon Jennings, the whole stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I think now we're seeing them make a real claim in the Eastern Conference.
Brook Lopez becoming Ryan Anderson late in his career. Like, the development that I did not see coming, that we are talking about enough as an NBA media, it's very fascinating to watch. Like, it's just to see him transform his game like this. Yeah, but the Bucks are a force to be reckoned with in the East. Chris Middleton's really good. Giannis is obviously playing at an MVP level.
Brogdon, too.
Yeah. But going back to James, it's been very interesting to see how just every night there's a different defense for him. I remember the Nuggets, Mike Malone had his squad trap Harden every single play possession, try to get the ball out of his hand. I remember I tweeted something like, man, there's an opportunity for Harden to get like 15 assists tonight, because he's like, there's an open shooter on every possession, and there's nothing the Nuggets can do, because that if that's your game plan, you can't switch mid game. It's like really impossible, especially if Malone, you know, drilled that in pregame, like, this is how we're gonna play. We're not gonna deviate from this. And, I mean, it just feels like the Nuggets are a team that the Rockets have their number. It's like, they just – every single time they play the Nuggets, they always score, like, 180 points.
I will say this, though. I think a while ago you said you're not ready to put Houston in that category of contenders. Apart from the Clippers, they've beaten every team above them.
Yeah.
Like, convincingly.
Right.
at what point for you would you say that, okay, these guys are
legit?
Legit.
When they get to middle of the pack defensively. Because I still don't trust their defense. Their defense is really bad.
What is the exact ranking right now?
I think before the game I checked, they were 26th. They played pretty okay tonight. So they had like a 106 defensive rating. They might be 25th or 24th right now. Like they're still really bad. Like, until they get out of that bottom 10, I'm not ready to put them, you know, back to where they were last year, especially. Like, last year they were just like a monster on both ends. And I feel like they're back to where they were offensively, and they have that identity again. But defensively, it's going to take – not only is it going to take some schematic changes, because I feel like they're getting back to their switching a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, they stopped dropping Clint Capela back to the rim. They're starting to switch a little bit more, getting back at rebounding. But their rebounding has to improve. Their defensive rebounding is still bottom 10 in the league. And they have to make some additions. Like, that seems pretty clear.
I saw a stat last night. They're fifth worst in box outs for offensive rebounds opportunities.
Right.
Which is – because box outs are just – that's just the simplest
– effort.
Yeah, just effort.
Right.
So I think for them to improve in that department, just energy. Mm-hmm. Could that be bringing some high-energy guy in? Possibly. Like a Jaren Grant. You saw him – I know you watched the game last night.
Yeah.
They need someone like that, a high energy, you know,
switchable defender that just boxes out, every night defensively. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that this is what we've been talking about all offseason. I feel like we've been talking about the Rockets getting this coveted wing, right? But it's gonna be hard because I feel like there's like 8 Western Conference teams that are buyers and are looking for exactly that. And you know, there's so few sellers out there. You know, you see Chicago, Atlanta, maybe New York, but I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, you'd have to search to see if there are more sellers than that. And, you know, the Rockets have assets. They have all their first round picks going forward. They have that Brandon Knight contract, which I feel is very movable. It's a good lump sum amount of cash, which you need to acquire a player like that. But, you know, there might be teams out there that have better assets. I don't know. Like, they might have to fill these minutes in by committee. I mean, they've been doing so. They've been starting Eric Gordon when he was healthy. They brought in Daniel House, and you know, they brought in Austin Rivers. They might have to sign someone on the buyout market with the remaining lump sum of their taxpayer MLE.
Because when Clint sits and they go small, they just get destroyed on the glass.
Right.
And you look at the other teams around the league, the Miamis, the Milwaukees. When Hassan sits, they still have Bam coming in.
Right.
They still have – and Bam gets, I think, 18% of rebounding opportunities when Hassan's off the floor, which is a good sign for a backup big.
Right.
Now, Hardenstein actually did pretty well for the minutes he was in.
Yeah.
But he's
– he was a plus-minus god.
Yeah.
Like he was like a plus 15 every time he was
there. Yeah, but he's in Rio. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean – so I want to ask you this question because I was talking to this with our friend Ben DuBose before the game. Do you think the Rockets need some size? Because like that might be something that they're lacking that we're not talking about enough. They're a really small team. They don't have anybody on this team that's over 6'10".
Yeah, they do. They tried to – well, they looked into it before Tyson went to Los Angeles. They tried to – like, they, you know.
They tried to acquire
– yeah, they put their hat in the ring.
Yeah.
As far as now, I think if a big came available, like a Robin Lopez, they would probably look at that.
Yeah.
If, because, yeah, they need some size.
Robin Lopez is a good name. That's a good name that might become available.
If they, I don't know how much they plan to play Nene down the stretch. He didn't play versus
Milwaukee, yeah,
or Golden State.
Yeah, he plays very matchup dependent.
Yeah, so I think you need to, if you don't trust Marquese Chris yet, if you don't trust Isaiah yet, you need to bring in another experienced, like when they had Brandon Wright before his knees, you know, gave out. I thought that was the perfect backup big for what they want to do. It's just someone who's athletic, run the floor, block shots, intimidate in the paint. But I think they're going to wait for the buyout mark. Because I think trade deadline is always hectic. You might do something, but where you're going to make your real mark is March 1st. Right. Once free agents are there.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a name out there, and you tell me what you think. Because I feel like this team is ready to give up on this guy. Derek Favors. So Derek Favors is the starting power forward for the Utah Jazz, and they've been experimenting with kind of throwing out smaller lineups and stuff like that. And I'm not sure if they view Gobert and Favors as their starting, you know, front court of the future.
Yeah.
So if the Rockets were to, you know, throw some feelers out for him, how would you feel about
what that? What is his contract?
$16.9 million per year, I think.
And Rubio's out for a while?
Yeah, yeah. Like wow. I think the last time I checked, Rubio was out for like 2 weeks, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, you could always offer Brandon for, well, it would probably take Brandon in a first and probably a second.
Yeah. And Faye and the Jazz are one of your contenders. You know, they're trying to get back.
That's the thing. So I was, yeah.
They're trying to get back in the playoffs. League, so
like, I was talking to a league exec guy, and he said, a lot of the Western teams are just trying to wait for you know how you're in a middle school dance and waiting for someone to cross the room?
Right.
That's how a lot of Western teams are right now. They're waiting for someone to make that move because 14 teams are contenders right now.
Right.
They still feel like, okay, we're still in this. Now, between now and February 7th, a lot might change because the standings are going to fluctuate.
A lot of these buyers might become sellers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, I think for someone like Utah, they're still a very prideful team. You know, everyone picked them to be
some people picked next them up. To be the second best team in the West this year.
Next up, based on Houston's regression and their consistency and their youth movement
right.
with Donovan and Ingles and whatever. But Favors lost some weight. He slimmed down.
Right.
He started shooting more threes. But the Favors Gobert pairing has never really worked how they wanted it to work.
It's not very forward-looking.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's not. I don't think he's a four. I think he's an undersized big.
Right.
Now, in a perfect world, Rockets would love to have Montrez back. But that's, you can't have that.
Right.
So Favors is a pretty intriguing option. That's a good name. I hadn't thought of that. It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. This is, you know, you get bored, you scroll around through the Western Conference games, see.
You'll find something.
Yeah, you'll find something. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because I do feel like they need multiple positions. It's not just – I don't think they just need a wing at this point. I think they do need some size. So it's going to be interesting. Like, I'm not sure, like, at this point if the Rockets are intending to move to wait to make a move or if the Rockets are going to, you know – actually make a move while Chris Paul and Eric Gordon are out. Because I think they want to see how this team looks and what they lack once their roster comes back together.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Daryl said previously. Like, they would like to see for an extended run. They haven't actually had that luxury of having everyone on the table ready to go for, like, 10, 15-game stretch.
Right.
Yeah. Either Carmelo got whatever or someone got hurt. Someone got spit on or somebody, you know, it's always something.
Right.
So I think the period between now and the trade deadline is going to be good because he's going to have the best chance to evaluate everything at once, you know, and see what do we really need, what do we need to trade, what, you know, that's just how he's probably thinking right now. So watch for these next month or so and see what happens.
What about shooting? So, like, this team has got their act together lately with the shooting.
Yeah.
But I'm still not sure if they're, you know, fully there yet. Like, I think they might want an extra shooter.
They have for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Like, do you think the Rockets will explore the market, look at guys like Wayne Ellington, maybe J.R. Smith? You know, guys who may not be traditional defenders when you think of it, but, you know, can defend but are really known for their three-point shooting prowess. Are they exploring the market for that?
Specifically J.R. Smith, they have called about about a month or so ago. But as one person told me, trading for J.R. Smith is easier said than done. It sounds good in theory, but he comes with a lot of baggage.
Right. He's getting up there in age.
He's up there in age.
Takes a long time to integrate into a culture.
And there's there've always been like things that said about him in the locker room, which is kind of the reason why they got him out of there.
Right.
Like morale, stuff like that. He's still a good shooter. I still think Nick Young, someone who's always killed the Rockets sneakily, would be, you know.
Yeah, the Rockets really like these home improvement projects. They like to bring in guys who a lot of the league has given up on, but they feel like they can, you know, in Mike D'Antoni's system, can reincorporate them into NBA offenses.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. For now, I feel like they're in a good spot. They got some really favorable schedule going up. Like, they're going to play Orlando on the road, and then they play the Lakers, and then they play Brooklyn. Yeah, so among that, that's two out of those three teams are under 500. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see if they can get some blowout losses under their belt, because I really want to see if they can do that. If they can get some blowout loss under the belt, I might start to feel a little bit better about their chances climbing up the standings. You know, they're really trying to get this number one seed. Mike D'Antoni talked about it today with the media. Like, the Rockets have not let their sights, you know, down from that number one seed. They still want that.
And the more games that they get at home, the better, because they're playing really well at home lately.
Right. Yeah.
So I think, to your point, they can get some more blowout wins, some big wins, some confidence boosters.
Yeah. Then, get some guys some rest.
Yeah, get some guys some rest. Then the feelings will come back, you know.
Right.
Not so as last year, because that's was never coming back.
Right.
But just confidence.
Right.
The feeling that you can hang with the Golden States, the Denvers.
The West is really close. Yeah. They're really bunched up right now. The Rockets are like 4.5 games back of the one seed. And a few weeks ago, they were the 14th seed. Like, it's really, like, I'm not going to say it's easy to climb, but it's really, there's an opportunity to climb if you're really, you know, focused on it.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fascinating. I've enjoyed talking to you, Kelly.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be interesting to see what kind of turtleneck you wear tomorrow.
Sorry for the cough. My throat is just killing
me. No, you're good. You're good. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Subscribe to The Athletic. Follow Kelly.
Hey.
Follow Kelly on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
Kelly Eco NBA. So K-E-L-L-Y-I-K-O-N-B-A.
And yeah, guys, good night.